Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining. This is our 14th Zoom audio and video worship service. It was such a joy seeing everyone coming in and hearing different voices. I almost didn't want to stop and just wanted to continue to hear people talking and greeting each other. You all look and sound wonderful, so thank you for joining in, and it's great to have so many of you once again joining our service this morning. And even though we're apart, it feels like we're all together in this moment. And so many of you have said that you enjoy worshiping at home, and that's very similar to what our first Christians did. They worshiped at home. So in essence, we're returning to our roots to be worshiping in our homes. And today we're going to be celebrating our 95th anniversary of the United Church of Canada. And at the end of the service, we're going to be sharing together the sacrament of Holy Communion. So if you have anything in your home, whether it's a piece of bread or a cracker or a cookie, even rice, you're welcome to prepare that and have a little beverage so that you can join as we celebrate that sacrament together. And if you want, you could even take a picture so we can add that to our newsletter that we're hoping to have so that we could see your communions at home. And so as we turn to the life and work of our church, we continue to thank all those who are supporting the church, either by sending in your offering through checks by mail or using CAR or Canada Helps. So we're grateful to all of you for the support you give to the church and to our mission and service fund. So that is a great gift that you give to our church each as you are able. I also invite you to take time perhaps to phone people in our congregation who you haven't seen or talked to for a while, because it's always nice just to check in with each other and see how we are all doing. And it's also great if you want to phone me. I'm always happy to hear from you, whether by phone or email. It's just nice to connect with each other and to hear each other's voices. So we want to thank those who are participating in our service today. We thank Karen and Penny and Lauren, who are leading our music. And we thank Carol, who's going to be reading our scripture and helping out with the communion liturgy. And thanks again to Brian for hosting and to Ron and John for helping with the technical side of things. So we hope you are all able to connect okay and can hear and see all right for those who have the video.
And Brian, it's Brian as the host. I would like to congratulate Cindy for taking on this technology and doing the task of being our minister using Zoom technology. And we'd also like to wish her a happy birthday. And at this time, we will sing happy birthday by ourselves, I guess. And we'll also say happy birthday to Betty Asano, and we'll have a piano accompaniment.
Thank you, and happy birthday, Betty. I hope you have a great day. And it's great to be together to celebrate a birthday with all of you. And that's such a joy. And thanks to Brian. Brian's given me a new camera, so I hope I look even better today so that we look sharp and clear for our gathering. So as always, you're welcome to phone or email or text Kaz or Brian, Carol, or myself to say how things went for you. If you have any problems, just to let us know. And if you have an order of service, I invite you to follow along that and feel free to read the prayers and sing the hymns as you are all muted. And feel free to just make that joyful noise unto the Lord. And Karen will play an introduction to the hymns, and our soloists will sing our hymns for us. So let's just take a moment to quiet our thoughts and just prepare our hearts for a time of worship. This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we celebrate the 95th anniversary of the United Church of Canada. We praise God for the gift of our denomination. We give thanks for all those who work together to bring unity and honor our diversity. On this 95th anniversary, we are invited to explore what it means to be the church and to continue to create a future where we can live out our faith in ways that serve our communities and our world. So let us worship, ready to respond with hope, faith, love, and courage as the people of the United Church. of Canada. So let us unite our hearts in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, we feel blessed to have the roots of your word and the wings of your spirit. Thank you that four different denominations overcame barriers to find common ground. We celebrate the positive ways Christianity in Canada has shaped our nation. Help us to build on the best of the past and give us the courage and imagination for new ways of being your church today. Amen. And let us join together in our affirmation of our Christian faith as we join in our new creed. For we are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to seek justice and love others, and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Lauren will now lead us in singing our opening hymn, The Church is One Foundation.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ our Lord. We are his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought us that we might ever be his living servant people, by his own death set free. Called forth from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, one charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name professing, and at one table fed, to one hope always pressing, by Christ's own Spirit led.
Thank you, Lauren. I'm going to invite Carol to read our scripture lesson, followed by Penny singing, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
The Hebrew scripture this morning is Psalm 138, a song of thanksgiving and reasons for praise. I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. I sing praise to you before the gods. I face your holy temple, bow down and praise your name, because of your constant love and faithfulness, because you have shown that your name and your commands are supreme. You answered me when I called to you. With your strength, you strengthened me. All the kings in the world will praise you, Lord, because they have heard your promises. They will sing about what you have done, about your great glory. Even though you are so high above, you care for the lowly, and the proud cannot hide from you. When I am surrounded by troubles, you keep me safe. You oppose my angry enemies and save me by your power. You will do everything you have promised. Lord, your love is eternal. Complete the work that you have begun. May God's blessing be added to this reading.
For a thousand tongues to sing my grace. great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of God's grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful, broken hearts rejoice, the humble, poor believe. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of your name.
Thank you, Penny. That was great. Thank you. That's lovely. So today we are celebrating the 95th anniversary of the United Church, and I thought we should begin with a couple of minister stories about a minister who was greeting people on their way out, and he grabbed hold of one man's hand and said, "You need to join the army of the Lord." And the man said, "Well, I'm already a part of the army of the Lord," he said. And the minister said, "Well, how come I only see you at Easter and Christmas?" And the man said, "Well, I'm part of the Secret Service." And there's a story about a circuit riding preacher, and that preachers used to ride on horseback from one church to the next. And one particular minister decided that he would train his horse, and he would say, "Praise the Lord to make it go, and all men to make it stop." And so he was, one day he decided to go for a ride up in the hills, and he said, "Praise the Lord," and off they went. And then he came to a stream, and he thought, "Oh, that'd be a great place for lunch." So he said, "Amen," and he got off and had his lunch. Then he got back on his horse and he started up a hill, and he was coming close to a cliff and getting closer and closer. And he realized that the horse was going to go off the edge of the cliff, and he panicked and he said, "Whoa, whoa," but the horse kept going until he finally realized that he needed to say "Amen," and he shouted "Amen," and the horse stopped just in time as it was going off the cliff. And the minister breathed a sigh of relief and said to the Lord, "Praise the Lord, I'm safe." Not really. Oh my, where do they come up with these little jokes? I'm sure that there are some in our congregation who have been a part of the United Church for 95 years, and some maybe even longer. And I know that you will all have amazing stories and memories of being part of the United Church. And I thought I would think about, you know, when I was growing up in the United Church, some of the things that I remembered about the church. And I remember that when I was a child, that we weren't allowed to be part of the worship service, that Sunday school was downstairs and we were separate from the adults. And on the occasion that we got to go into worship, I always remember the eyes of my mom. It was as if, "Don't you dare speak or smile or laugh. You were not to do any movement when you were in church. And I also remember having communion. I didn't really have communion. All I did is it passed right in front of me. All I could do was smell the grape juice and think, oh, I'd like to have some of that. But I wasn't allowed to do that until I was confirmed as a teenager. And I remember as a teenager going on a youth retreat to Cedar Glen. And I remember one of the leaders saying to me, you know, your language is very exclusive. You only refer to God in the male and to people as men. And, you know, because we're part of the United Church, we have a new policy of being inclusive. And so it opened my eyes up to my language and the importance of using different expressions for God, like creator or wise and gentle God or comforter. And so I found that I was being opened up and seeing things that I might like to see change in the church, as well as things that I respected and honor. And I'm sure all of you will have some of your special memories. Often we have the memory of the church being full with lots of people, lots of children, and then we think of what it's like today and not as many people, and we miss that in our church today. So 95 years is a long time to reflect on, but I thought I would just do a little bit of the highlights from each decade, and I know there's lots more that I could mention, but these are some of the few that some will remember that the United Church had its inaugural gathering on June the 10th, 1925 at the Toronto's Mutual Street Arena. And the order of service was 53 pages long. Can you imagine how long that would have taken? And, you know, some people think my bulletin's long. Well, that would be a long service to sit through. But part of what they had in that service, we had some hymns. And they chose hymns that reflected some of the churches that were amalgamating in. So from the Presbyterian Church, they had a hymn called All People That on Earth Do Dwell. And coming from the Methodist Church was the song that, the hymn that Penny just sang for us, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. And that's by Charles Wesley. And the Congregationalists had the hymn When I Survey the Wondrous Cross by Isaac Watts. So they made it as ecumenical of bringing the three main traditions together, the denominations, so that they felt that they were a part of the service. And everyone thought that the very first moderator of the United Church would be the head of the largest denomination that was joining, which was the Methodist Church. And Reverend Chown was the one who they thought would be the moderator. But he decided that he declined because he wanted the Presbyterians who were joining and were two-thirds coming into the church, that he wanted them to feel that connection of being united and that we were coming together as one. So George Pidgeon was the very first moderator of our United Church in 1925. And the main reason that the United Church even formed together was because of what was happening out west as the churches and the communities were being opened up, that they found it hard if they had all these different denominations to be able to get ministers to go and serve out in the what they called the boonies in Manitoba and Saskatchewan and Alberta, that they had a hard time getting ministers to go. So they began to think that why don't we unite and just have one church in these communities? And as a result of that, we have the United Church of Canada forming in 1925. But it took over 30 years before that we were able to amalgamate. They say the church is slow, but it truly is slow. And some of the highlights as we carry on from 1925 20s into the 1930. 1930 was the year that the hymn book was published, and some of you may even remember the Blue Hymn Book. We all referred to it as the Blue Hymn Book, and it lasted for many, many decades. And also in 1936, the very first woman was ordained in the United Church. Reverend Lydia Grucci from Saskatchewan was the first woman to be ordained, even though the Methodists had been ordaining women in the 1880s. So it took a while for the United Church to move ahead. Then in 1940, we know what happened with the Second World War. And there was great debate over whether the church should be involved, because the church wanted to be pacifist and not be involved in this war. And there were 65 clergies who signed a letter of petition saying that they would not participate and that the church should not be involved. And yet, because of the extent of this war, the United Church decided that it was important to support it, and that many clergy actually became chaplains within the war. And also, we know one of the devastating parts of that was the relocation of our Japanese Canadians. And that unfortunately was supported by many in the United Church, except for the people in British Columbia. The leaders and the missionaries were so against it that they sent out petitions and wanted to have a committee set up to end it and to fight for the rights of the Japanese Canadians, who they felt were so devastated and treated unfairly. And so the United Church began to support, and that where we came. And also in 1925, when we amalgamated, that the United Church inherited all the several residential schools and were under the care of the United Church at that time. But in the late 40s, the mood began to change, and people recognized that this was not the direction that they wanted to be. And so they began to close the residential schools, but it took several decades for that to actually happen. We move into the 1950s, and one of the things that the United Church was famous for was supporting things that were politically maybe not popular. And one of the things that the United Church supported was universal health care, and we know what happened with that. And during the 1950s, it was the baby boom, and as a result of that, the membership and givings increased a lot during the 1950s. We also were talking with the Anglicans about joining together and having, you know, another union of being one together. Then in 1962, you may remember that there was the Women's Auxiliary and the Women's Missionary Society. And in 1962, they joined those two groups together, and they formed the United Church Women, the UCW. And we celebrated a special anniversary just a few years ago about that. But it was 1965 when we had the most membership. Over 1 million people were members of the United Church in 1965. But by the end of the 1960s, people were getting a little bit discouraged about the role of ministry in the church. And you may remember Pierre Burton, who wrote that book, The Comfortable Pew, that began to look at ministry and the unhappiness that people were feeling about church at that point. In 1968, the Evangelical United Brethren joined our United Church. And in the late 1960s was Vietnam. And there was someone in our church, Reverend Ray Horde, who was part of the evangelism team, who supported people who were coming Vietnam Dodgers coming to Canada and helping them get a better life here. And at first, the United Church wasn't in favor of this. And yet, within 2 years, it was our policy to support anyone who wanted to not go into the Vietnam War. 1971 was still that opportunity for ecumenism and bringing the United Church and the Anglican Church together. And we had what we call the Red Hymn Book was published in 1971, which is a combination of the Anglican and United Church hymns. And that was used for several decades, although people often weren't really as keen on it because they didn't recognize all the hymns, because we had some Anglican hymns as well as the United Church. And eventually the talks between the Anglicans shortly after that broke off, and so we had this hymn book that we both had, but we were not going to unite together. And it was in 1974 that we first had the first African-Canadian moderator of our church. Reverend Wilbur Howard became the moderator. And during the 1970s, it was a time that membership began to decline in our United Churches. In the 1980s, we had the opportunity to see moderators that were elected. The first Reverend woman moderator was elected, Lois Wilson, in 1980, and in 1986, the first lay woman became our moderator, Anne Squire. We also had the General Council apologize to our First Nations congregations that we denied their native spirituality. And we also had the very first moderator who was of Asian descent elected in 1988, Reverend Dr. Sang Shuli. And we also, in 1988, had the famous document, the Membership, Ministry, and Human Sexuality, that stated that all persons, regardless of their sexual orientation, who profess their faith in Jesus Christ, could be members of the United Church, and all members of the United Church were eligible to be ordained. And as a result of that decision, over the next few 4 years, we lost 78,000 members of our United Church. In the 1990s, we had the first Indigenous Canadian moderator. 1992, Reverend Stan Mackay became our moderator. We also had the Healing Fund as we started to seek ways in which we could support our Indigenous brothers and sisters. And in 1998, we had a formal apology to the former students of the residential schools. And then in 1998 or 96, we had our new hymn book, Voices United, was published, and we still enjoy that today, and they had over 300,000 copies printed of the new hymn book. And I remember being at a workshop introducing the new hymn book, Voices United, and one of the hymns they had us sing was Faith of Our Fathers. And we noticed right away that I think it was the second verse was Faith of Our Mothers, and people cheered that we were being inclusive of fathers and mothers, and actually all our brothers and sisters. In 2000, a new century, the givings and membership continued to drop in our 2000s. And as a result of that, our United Church head office reorganized to cut back on staff. In 2006, we had the settlement for the Indigenous people who were part of the residential schools. And as a result of that, the United Church, of the 80,000 survivors of residential schools, 10% were part of the United Church. in 2006, the United Church had a new program called the Emerging Spirit, in which they were trying to reach out to the 30s and 40-year-olds. And as a result of that campaign, they tried all these innovative things. They had the bobblehead Jesus, and people were making good fun of our United Church out of that. And in 2006, we had More Voices, a supplement to Voices United, was published. In the 2010s, General Council elected in 2012, Gary Patterson, our first openly gay moderator. And we also invited the First Nations to become signatures of our basis of union that was formed in 1925. In 1925, they were automatically signed or put onto the basis of union, and without any consultation. And so in 2012, they were invited to sign and be part of the basis of union. In addition, the United Church crest that was designed in 1944 and updated in 1980 with the French words, but in this time period, they also included some of the indigenous colors on the back of the creed, and also used the Mohawk phrase, "All my relations," so that the creed or the crest was inclusive of all people who were part of the United Church. And in 2019, the United Church, again, because of financial issues, they reorganized and went from a four-court system where we had the presbyteries and councils and the conferences, and we turned the presbytery and conferences into regions. So there are now 16 regions across our United Church, and we are now part of Shining Waters region. So these are some of the highlights over 95 years, and I'm sure there's lots more and things that you would remember. I just feel a sense of pride of being part of the United Church. I don't always agree with some of the actions and decisions they make, but overall, that's that sense of social justice, equality, just trying to unite people and being a sense of being one. I like that we admit that we make mistakes and we try to correct them. We seek to help the rights of minority groups. We deal with controversial issues. We have a large mission and service objective, either locally and around the world. We speak out for climate crisis. We speak out for the poor, the marginalized, and we just seek to create a community where people can live in a spirit of justice and peace and hope in their lives. And that is one of the main blessings that I see as being part of our United Church. And so I'd just like to just end with just saying a few words from Psalm 138, that I give thanks to the Lord and I sing your praises, for I bow down to the holy and give thanks, for your name is steadfast with love, and your faithfulness is to all people. May God's blessing be added. We are now going to continue with the celebration of Holy Communion, remembering that Jesus, often when he would gather with people, he would gather in their homes, like Peter's home or Zacchaeus or Mary and Martha, and they would host him. And today we are gathered in our homes, and Jesus is our host of a special meal that we celebrate together, a meal of God's love and grace, a meal that celebrates our coming together as God's people and uniting as one. So we are all invited, those who follow and celebrate the gift of God and Jesus in our lives. So let us remember as we gather to celebrate this feast that all are welcome at God's table as we celebrate the gift of God's love in our lives. So Lauren is now going to sing our communion hymn, We Gather Here.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, God fashions us as one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The one who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now a gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
Thank you, Lauren. Let us join together in our Eucharist prayer. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Let us celebrate the gift of life this table represents, the gift of physical nurture and strength, the gift of spiritual insight and care, the gift of hope in the midst of despair, the gift of love which can answer all hatred.
We come as individuals as we share community, and we depart after partaking of the table as a body of believers.
In the beginning, God's Spirit moved across the waters and called forth life from death and order from chaos. When God's people Israel were enslaved, God's Spirit led them forth to freedom and into a new land.
At the baptism of our Lord, God's Spirit descended like a dove, blessing him and guiding him throughout his ministry. In the dark hours before his crucifixion, Jesus promised the gift of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us through the ages to come.
And on the day of Pentecost, God's Spirit came with the sound of a mighty wind and the appearance of tongues of fire. God filled the disciples with grace and power and sent them out to preach the good news to all people. So send now, O God, your Spirit upon these gifts of bread and cup. May they enable us to remember the Holy One by whom our thirst is quenched and our hunger satisfied. And so we remember on the night in which Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room to celebrate the Passover meal. And it was during that supper that Jesus took a loaf of bread. And he gave thanks to God for the blessings that God had given. And then he broke the bread and passed it to his friends and saying, take and eat, for this is my body broken for you. Each time you eat of this, remember me and give thanks. And then after supper, he poured a glass of wine. And he gave thanks once again to God for all the blessings that God had given. And then he passed it to his disciples and he said, take and drink from this cup, for this cup is the new covenant that is shed for you. Each time you drink of this cup, remember me and give thanks. So bless, O God, the food that is before us and the beverages. As we feast together, let us be nurtured in God's love and God's care. So all of these are the gifts of God for all of us, the people of God. And so I invite you, if you have a piece of bread or cracker or some other, to join together. And together, let us eat together and be nourished in God's love. I invite you to take a sip from the beverage that you have, again, seeking that oneness together, that as we drink together, we are touched by God's love and God's compassion in our hearts. Let us drink together. Let us join together in our post-communion prayer. Let us pray. We give thanks, O God, that in love you have reached out to us, refreshed us at your table, and addressed our deepest need. May we be bread and wine for each other and the world. Send us forth with faith, hope, and courage. Amen. Penny will now lead us in our closing hymn, Go to the World. It was written by a United Church minister, Sylvia Dunstan.
Go to the world, go into all the earth, go preach the cross, where Christ renews life's worth, baptizing us, the sign of our rebirth. Alleluia, alleluia. Go to the world, go struggle, bless, and pray. The nights of tears give way to joyous day. As servant church, you follow Christ's own way. Alleluia. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Penny. It's a great hymn to end with. It's that spirit of God's love uniting us and just celebrating the gift of being together. And it's been a joy to celebrate the 95th anniversary of our United Church with all of you. And I hope that you've maybe learned a little bit and remembered a little bit and just been inspired by the gift of our United Church in your lives. And just a reminder, if you've shared communion, you might want to just take that photo and send it off to us so we can share it in our next newsletter. And on June the 21st, next Sunday, we'll celebrate Indigenous Sunday as well as Father's Day. So let us go this week grateful for the gift of the United Church and for our God who leads us forward. May you rejoice in our God who is always with us. We are never alone. Thanks be to God. And as you go, remember, may God, the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace by means of your faith in God, so that your hope will continue to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of God's hand. Karen will now lead us in our final postlude, Song Without Words. Thank you.
Thanks for attending the Bayview United Church Conference Call Worship Service for Sunday, May the 14th. If you'd like to chat with your friends, you can press the icon at the bottom to unmute your microphone and press the icon to start your video, and you can chat for a little while.